Sairam, dear listeners, welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Radio Sai's popular series of conversations with the graduates of Baba Schools and University. Our guest today is Mrs. Sushmita Patnaik. Sushmita Patnaik has spent 12 long years of her impressionable young life at the Anantapur campus of Bhagwan's College. In 1980, she joined there as a young teenager and completed 2 years of her pre-university education, that is intermediate. And subsequently, from 1982 to 85, she studied for her bachelor's degree. And 85 to 87, she completed her master's in philosophy and she earned herself a gold medal. In 1987, she moved on to Madras University to earn herself her MPhil degree. And from 88 to 92, she went back to her alma mater at Anantapur and she lectured in philosophy for a good period of 4 years. In 1992, Sushmita Patnaik got married and settled in Berhampur, Orissa. Later on, she went to earn herself a bachelor's degree in education. And since 1995, she has been in the teaching profession, where she teaches English, history, civics, and economics to high school students. Sairam Sushmita, and Sairam. Welcome to Fleeting Moments.
Sairam Karnandi.
It's very nice to finally have you, because our listeners really enjoy this particular series, and everyone's experiences are so inspiring, insightful, and full of lessons for our listeners. So I'm very glad that finally we could make this date. Let's begin at the beginning. How did Bhagwan come into your life?
Actually, I think in 1972-73, some person gave a photograph to my father, Swami's photograph.
Where did you used to live then?
We lived always in Berhampur,
okay.
Till date.
Okay.
So he gave a photograph to my father and we started worshipping Swami. Then in 70, before 75, 72, 73, 74, we came to Swami. Then roads were not there, railways were not there. We had to get down somewhere in some place and from there we had to come by bullock cart. So we reached that place called Bukkapatnam, I suppose, and we didn't know where to go. That was already evening time. And we were looking for a bullock cart and some people got us one. And we didn't know where to go, where to lead. Those people also didn't know where to take us. There was an old man who came along. He said, that's the way, and showed us a way where the rider could take us. Then on the way, we heard bhajan that was coming from Prashanti Lilam. Probably we were getting closer. And the man said, that was the bhajan, evening bhajan going on in Prashanti Lilam. So by late evening, we reached around 7:30 or so. Bhajans had ended. Swami had gone into his room. And then Prashanti Nilam was the white building with the Krishna statue on top. And we spent the night there in the open air. Purnachandra Auditorium was under construction. Near the stones and boulders over there, heaps of sand and all, we stretched ourselves and took rest. The next morning, my parents woke me up and we went for Suprabhatam. We didn't know that it was Suprabhatam. Just we thought that, they told me that we will see God. So we went and sat on the sand. I sat with my mother and they started Omkaram 21 times. And when Omkaram started, I never knew what Omkaram was. So I was looking around from which direction Swami would come on the Pushpak Viman. Because they had told me we were going to see God. So I thought he was going to come for Vaikuntham by Pushpak Viman.
They were looking for some heavenly vision in the
yes.
sky.
I was looking around, looking for some Pushpak Viman coming from some direction. When I was looking around, Swami came on the balcony to give us darshan. That was Prabhat Darshan Swami used to give at that time. And then my mother said, this is God. We have come to see him. And then I realized he was the one, my Lord, my Master. Since then, he came into my life and accepted me. And then we continuously kept coming at least once a year. In 1975, I came as a Balvikas delegate. And we were lodged in Anantapur Hostel. Swami's college had already started and we were kept, all the Balivika students from all over India were kept there in Anantapur. For 2 days we stayed there, we were trained and in bhajans and all that. We had to do march past, all that. And then we were brought to Patti on the birthday when Swami, we had to march in front of Swami. Swami was standing near, then there was a circle in front of the mandir. New building, new Prashanti building was constructed. In front of that there was a circle, and right in front there was a Ganesh statue. And Swami was standing with Karunyananda ji there. And we had to march
Swami Karunyananda.
Yeah. Yes. We had to march along and salute Swami as we passed him. And then we had learnt the song. It was specifically prepared for that march past, so Sai Sai Japte Chalo, by I think Bombay people, Balvikas in charges. We sang and we marched, and after that Swami gave a discourse for us and distributed laddus, gave us big badges which I still preserve, and then gave us pens, two pens, one ball pen and one was ink pen, which is still there with me. That was in 1975. When we went back, I joined Balvikas. I was already there. I attended Prisavadal. I used to go for all the Seva Vaks, Balvikas, Prisavadal, Mahila Vibhag and General Seva Vak, and attend all possible bhajans wherever it was there. And there was one person from my place named Mr. S.M. Patnaik. He was an important person in Patti, and in his house we used to go and attend Prisavadal. He told me that recently Swami has started a college for women in Anantapur, where you stayed when you went as a Balvika student. So will you like to join there? I said, certainly, I want to go. Then he said, then you've got to study very well. You have to get a first class. Only then you can go there. Then started my prayers. Then that intensity, that yearning in me that I must go and join Anantapur College. I didn't know how to go. I was studying in Oriya medium. And Oriya, normally studying in Oriya medium, wouldn't be knowing how to speak in English. And everything was in English then in Anantapur. But I didn't know. I told Swami, I don't know how I'm going to go, but it is your duty. I'll try my best to do well, get good marks. Every time I would sit down to study, I would pray Swami, and finish my studies, I would pray Swami. Every minute I spent praying, Swami, please take me. My 10th exams were over and I passed with distinction marks. And I got very good marks in Oriya. So Orissa government offered me scholarship, that is complete education free. But then no, I rejected it because I wanted to join Anantapur, that is out of state. However, I came to Swami and we had to write entrance in Anantapur. I wrote entrance and then we had to wait for the results, and for an interview they did not call us. So then telephones were not there, and to get information from Anantapur was not so easy. So again we went, my father and myself went to Anantapur to find out. That was evening time, and my father went and requested that we have been waiting for a very long time, we have to go back. So if at all they could interview me and then finish with the job, whatever has to be done. So very, very, very cordially, then principal was Dr. Hemalata Madam and Warden Jaima Madam and Pushpa Madam. They interviewed me for 45 minutes. And just remember, I never knew how to speak English. I was interviewed for 45 minutes. I didn't know what I spoke. I don't remember what they asked. It was over. We went back to a lodge. We stayed. And the next day, they informed that I was selected to join Anantapur. And then, very happily, my longing was fulfilled. I was left by my father. He left me. He went back home. I was left in Anantapur. I started my studies in
all English medium.
Everything English medium, and everybody was speaking in English.
Yes.
But all my seniors were so nice to me. The warden Jema Madam was very, very loving, very motherly lady, and so compassionate, so kind towards me, and I started picking up. Seniors were very nice to me. They were very loving. They were taking all care, guiding me, taking care of me. Very loving people. I was in a world full of love. And then in 1980, the year when I joined intermediate, November, we came to Patti for Swami's birthday. That was, we reached somewhere, I think, in 16th or 17th of November. And Swami sent word that we should come to take his blessings and saris he distributed. So we sat down. That time sand was there. And on the sand, in rows, we sat down. I was the last person to come and sit. I was on the beginning of the line, but last in the last person to commence it. Swami didn't begin with me. He began with the other person. He started distributing saris, giving namaskar. And when he came to me, saris got over. I was the only person who didn't get a sari.
Oh.
And And nobody knew about it. Ma'ams didn't know. Pushpa madam was actually looking into it and all that. Jayma madam, principal madam, other teachers were there. Nobody knew that I didn't get a sari. Only the girls who were sitting beside me, they knew few. So they thought that everybody got. Swami also went back into the mandir. And naturally, girls were made to get up and to go back to the shed. And I didn't know. I was so innocent and so simple. I never knew what to do. I was wondering whether Swami would give me a sari or I won't get. I have to go back without it. I didn't know what to do, but it took little time for everybody to go in line in disciplined way. It took, I think, 5 to 10 minutes. And there was Swami on the veranda with a sari in his hand. He beckoned me. And the teachers really wondered what happened. They didn't know that I didn't get a sari. But Swami called me from there. Near the window, he was standing with a sari. I went to the veranda. I took namaskaram. He told me, take namaskaram. I took namaskaram. And it seems Swami blessed me. That's what the friend said. Then I got the sari from Swami. That was the day when I felt, I was confirmed that Swami accepted me.
You know what they say? God's delays are not his denials. He has something special for you.
Very special.
One-on-one, personal.
Yes. He did create that situation.
We got a group. I was also there. We got group Padnamaskar. And you know what? How do you say? Wholesale saris, wholesale Padnamaskar. Yes. Swami was 1 foot on the left, one on the right. It was hard to grab both his feet. You got a special one.
That's what. And he blessed me too. Yeah. And he gave me the sari. I really wondered, how did he create that situation for me? Such a special situation for me.
What was going through your little mind? You were such a young girl. You must have been 15 years old?
15 years old. 15 to 16 years old.
Yeah.
Then I came back very simple, very innocent. Because I always have been a person who, I'm never pushy. I can never push myself. Somebody has to push me from behind to go in front. I always prefer to be back screen. And after that, of course, I spent a few years. That was in 82, 83. I joined the University Society Institute of Higher Learning had already started. It was established when I was an intermediate only. And my senior two batches wrote exams under the institute, but they were following SBU University syllabus. Mine was the first batch to follow institute syllabus, which Dr. Gokak had framed for us. And to our dismay, we had 9 papers, 2 awareness papers and 2 elective papers with a 5 regular papers, 9 papers. And Swami was so particular that science students learnt about arts, art students learnt about science. So we all struggled. And during the college 8 periods, we could not finish our, all the papers. They could not teach us.
Subjects.
All the subjects. So we had to have classes during night times also in the hostel. In the corridors, in the prayer hall, in the dining hall, teachers started teaching. Regular classes were held and we were taught. And we hardly had any time to learn. We never had, because such a lot to study and so vast. And the Lord was so gracious, so concerned about us, so concerned. Before every exam, first semester exam we had, he called for us. We came to Parthi. He gave us an interview. And in the interview, he told us how we should prepare ourselves for exams. He told us, he gave the example of a letter. He said, when your younger brother or sister writes a letter, you are in the hostel. Akkad, you bring me this, you bring me a locket, you bring me Bibhuti packet, you bring me some calendars, you do this, you do that. What do? You read the letter, pick up the main points. This is what my brother has asked me to bring. And then just dispose the letter. This is what you do when you study. You prepare your chapters that way. Read the chapter, mark the main points. Remember the main points. Keep away the book, Swami told. And then you prepare, go well prepared to exam. Leave everything to me. I will handle the rest, he said. And then we used to go. We knew only Swami. We knew nothing. We studied for Swami. He gave us pens, gave us Pad Namaskaram. We went for exams. He said, study well. Keep Swami's name. Okay. And we went back. We wrote our exams. That was the first semester. Second semester was in April. And the rest of the students had finished their exams earlier. Our semester exam was in April. We were 38 of us in our batch. We were left with Jema madam in the hostel. Rest of them went home. And our counterpart, our brothers, were there in Patti. And then Swami decided, naturally, summer's time, Swami used to go to Vrindavan. He decided, I think it was a March, of that year, 82-83, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, and we were heartbroken. Swami is going away to Vrindavan and we have exams. Swami told us and sent message to us, don't worry, I know it is too hot and it is unbearable. April 1st it would rain and then the climate would become very cool for you all to study and prepare the exams and write. And invariably we knew what he thought, his sankalpa would happen. On 1st April there was a downpour. And then the whole climate changed. It was all cool. We comfortably studied, wrote our exams, and then went back home after that. And then Swami's concern and what you talk about, like whatever, every time, that was a sports meet in January, first sports meet we had of the institute. We all were not so trained. We had yoga asanas prescribed for us. We had to attend yoga classes. So we were preparing with that to display something in front of Swami. Some of our classmates also, some practiced some motorbike stunts. Motorbikes were hired for us. We started practicing some of them, some exercises. And then some of our classmates also wanted to put up skatings. And Principal Madam, when we came to Patti in January to practice, Madam said, we have this other program. Swami was very concerned. Every moment, every time he would come out to us and ask about us, how we are practicing, whether everything is available to us, whether we needed anything, any help. He was all ready to provide anything we wanted. And then Madam said that we girls are going to skate. Swami, we need a floor, cemented floor. And you won't believe, overnight we had the cement floor made in Shantivedika. There was the cement floor made for the girls. They started practicing and then displayed it in front of Swami. Swami came for the practice. He sat on that Nandi there and we were all there watching everything until half. He was telling us, he was guiding us, he was giving the inspiration, protecting us all through. And the final day when we displayed, he was all in a sense sitting on the stage telling the guests, see how my children are doing, see my hair, how the girls are doing. What we were doing, we only didn't know.
Rollerblades.
Rollerblades and on the rope, okay. Some exercises on the bar, stunts on the motorbikes. So I was all excited. And he was telling them, see how the girls are doing. Girls are all doing. And nobody to teach them. On their own, they are practicing. He was taking giving all credits to us.
Swami always did that. He was like such a mom, no? He would first prepare you, give you everything, and then tell the outsiders, see how good my children are.
Yes. The credit for, he was giving all credit to us that they were doing. Actually, it was his.
My
his
God.
Help.
When
his
you think of all this.
My, really? I don't know what.
Who did we live with? Who did we ever even know who this was?
Really? We didn't, that time we didn't realize. What we knew was Swami.
We assume Swami is supposed to just be love, love, love and
that's
love.
That's all. That's all he wanted. And it went on. After the first sports meet, that was in the year 1984-85, Swami declared that you all go back home for summer and those of you who want to participate in the Gram Seva, come back. That's the first time we had Gram Seva. And then we came back. Almost all of us came back, and from my batch, all of us. Because we were very special to Swami, and then we also took Swami for everything, that's all. And then all of us came back, and for a week or so we had Gram Seva. Every day we would be prepared early morning, get up at 4 o'clock, 5:30. Breakfast was ready for us in the canteen, South Indian canteen. We would have breakfast, get into the buses. Buses were parked in front of the South Indian canteen, ladies' side. And Swami would come on the balcony to give us darshan. He would wave us. He would see us off. Then we would leave singing bhajans. Go to the villages. In the villages, everything that Swami had told us, clean the temples, clean the villages, teach them nutrition, nutritious food, cleanliness, sanitation. And we would also, near those bore wells and all slush and water and all, carry rocks and then set them right, everything. And when we would come back in the evening, it would be 5 o'clock. Nearly. Swami's darshan would be over and we also would be yearning to have Swami's darshan. We wanted to reach before Swami entered in. And why we were so yearning so much, I didn't know. But Swami was waiting up for us. He would finish his darshan very soon, only chanting from this side to that side, waiting for us. He would be so fidgety, so restless, waiting for all of us. As if a mother, when the mother sends little babies to nursery school, play school, and how she would be waiting for the children to come back, the way Swami would be waiting for us. When he would hear us singing bhajans near Gopuram, he would be right on the veranda waiting for us. We would rush back quickly and settle down ourselves beside the mandir. Then there was sand. And there would be Swami in front of us, coming and asking us, how did you all do this? And I know you did this. I know you all carried rocks. You know, girls, you don't do that. Make the boys do that. Make the young men do that. And inspire them to do that. You girls don't do that. I don't want you. All the girls, you are very tender. You know, you did this. You did that. Before we could relate to Swami what we did, he would finish relating everything what we did the whole day. And then Swami, did you all have curd rice I sent for you? And the pickle? And you purposefully I sent onions, raw onion, cut onions you would send. He said, it's very hot. I know that will help you release the heat. So I sent onions. Did you all eat? You must take that there. Then was Jaykumar uncle was there. He would carry in big vessels curd rice, pickle and raw onion for us. And then and there itself we used to have. Take little rest again, then get to work. And in the evening, after asking us, inquiring about everything, being convinced, giving advices, okay, I'm very happy, he used to say, and give us mangoes. One big, those Banganpilli mangoes. And Swami's aim, you know, he would throw to each of us. He would make it a point that each of us got it from his divine hands. No mediators. Directly into our hands. And invariably it would land up either on our laps or in our hands. And then Swami would say, Vangaru, I'm giving only one mango to each of you. This is holiday time. You were supposed to be with your parents. If you were with your parents, your parents would have given you so many mangoes to eat. Swami is giving only one mango each. And then we were with tearful eyes. No, Swami. This is more than enough that you are giving. This is enough, Swami. Don't tell that to us. We would go back. Swami would say, go back, have your food and take rest. Get up in the morning. And the toilful day, we would take the mango along with the peel, because Swami's touch would be there. We didn't want to leave that also. Only we couldn't take the stone of the mango. Only if you could take, we could have, I think, eaten. But we preserved them. And then again the next morning used to be ready, refreshed, vigorously, enthusiastically to go for Gram Seva. Every day went on like that. Last day, Swami told that he is going to accompany us after a week. And we used to go to different villages, go on the bus, and the roads used to be so narrow. The drivers also very carefully used to take us. We used to observe that on the hills were full of trees, almost very stale, not fresh leaves, and thorny bushes. Every day we used to see, however, we were enthusiastic, we were going for Gram Seva, we were very happy, and the love that we got from Swami at the end of the day. Okay, so every day. And last day Swami accompanied, he led us. He was ahead of us, we were following him in the bus. And when we were climbing on the hill, we were going to a particular village, I don't remember the name. Swami would be on the road was leading, it was like a snake, now going on the hill.
Yeah, yeah, just winding.
Winding it. And when Swami would be on the above of us on the road, we were down.
Yeah.
He would come out with his handkerchief fully open and swinging it.
And wave at you?
And we people to one side of the bus. We wanted to wave. And Swami also enjoyed the sight. And the bus driver, Amma, Pillilu, what are you doing?
Because all the girls would move to that side of the bus. So the bus, the weight would be lopsided.
Yes. And the driver all scared.
And that too on a rocky, hilly, mountainous road.
Yes, a narrow road. Very narrow. We were not bothered. Only Swami. And Swami would wave. Vin would be smiling. We couldn't see Swami inside the car, but his hand and the handkerchief. Mm-hmm. And he led us like that all through. And the most interesting part, nature was all ready to welcome their master, their creator. All the plants were full of blossom.
How did that happen overnight?
That was just Swami's grace. They were waiting to accept, welcome Swami.
It's the same area you had been to before.
Yes. Full of thorns, steel leaves. Now the plants, trees are full of blossom. His presence.
Nature came alive.
Yes. Just wanted to welcome. They were so happy.
Rejuvenation, instant.
Yes. Wonderful. That was a miracle. That was the acceptance of the divine. Wonderful it was. And then we reached the village where we were. Swami gave a short talk to the villagers. On the way, then when we came back...
Do you remember
back,
what he spoke of?
No, I just don't remember. That was 84, 85. I just don't remember. I forgot many things. Yeah. Anyhow, after that, we came back. We didn't have any seva that day. We just accompanied Swami. Yeah. So then Swami went ahead and we heard that in between he stopped in some villages and stood on the, not on the top of the car, but on the rest there to give darshan to people. He accepted garlands from them, distributed laddus to them. We were not close by it. We were far behind Swami. He reached early and we reached later. That was what it was during Gram Seva. That's how the Gram Seva started then. We didn't have it.
With Anandpur girls leading the way.
Yes.
let that get recorded for posterity. There's some things that, you know, we are very humble at Anandpur, but I think we should take credit for that Swami gave us the opportunity, because even sports day, this whole regalia, it began with Anandpur.
Yes.
Swami inspired the Anandpur campus to begin.
Yes.
We are the pioneers.
Yes. But I remember that time brothers used to give programs on the stage and all. And we too wanted to give. But we told many a times, Pushpa Madam would be leading always and telling Swami, girls also would sing on the stage. Oddu, every time would say, Oddu,
don't want.
Then once in the interview, I myself asked Swami. I said, Swami, you are partial and you are not giving chance to girls. I don't know from where I got the courage. But then Swami was so close. He wouldn't keep any gap. And then I said, Swami, you are partial. Swami, why you are not giving chances to the girls? You are giving only to the boys. And brothers are giving performances on stage. Girls are talented. Girls also are there. Then Swami said, Kaadu Bangaru, Allaga Kaadu Bangaru, he told me.
It's no, not like that.
It's not like that, my child. Not like that. Girls are very delicate. They are sensitive to various vibrations. Different type of people are there in the audience. And their vision has power. And I don't want girls to be exposed to those varieties of negative vibrations. They cannot take it.
So protective.
So don't think that way. My blessings are always with you. I'm always with you. Never think that way, that I'm partial to the boys. Yeah. He himself had told me. So since then, I never questioned Swami. I never felt that brothers are doing and we are not doing.
Mm.
So Swami is protective. He wants to take care of us. So there is no point of arguing with him or telling a word against him, Prata.
Mm.
That was it. And then it went on. Another thing that Swami started with us was interview to the outgoing students. That he started with us. We were in the final year, 84-85. And Swami gave interview to the outgoing students. And he took photographs with every group. We were only 38 of us in our batch.
Mm-hmm.
And in each group, there would be maximum, I think, in science or in commerce.
Science or
eight
commerce
or nine.
And arts, yeah. Small,
even
small
very one. Small number. Even though there were two in one of the arts groups, Swami clicked photos with them.
With us also, we were just five girls in PG, and he took picture with just the five of us.
Yes. Yeah. So it was very, very gracious of Swami.
Yeah.
Very, very gracious of Swami. He spoke to each of us. He told each student, he told us, ask questions, any queries, anything you want to ask me, you ask. So each of the students asked. I remember those days, one of my classmates, she was ML Sudha. She was in MPC group. She asked Swami, my parents are in Samiti, Satyasai Seva Samiti. Shall I go and join? That was, I'm talking about 84 and 85. Instantly Swami said, no. Don't join Samitis now. You do your Seva. In your own way, you continue doing Seva. Don't join Samiti. You know, later on, as time passed by, I heard I had left Anandpur and Swami insisted that students go into some Seva Samiti and get involved in Samiti work. But that remained in my mind till date. I'm not able to keep myself in active working in Samiti. I don't know when that comes into my mind. I do go to Samiti, I attend bhajans, I go and give talks, I go for study circles and satsang, I give talks there. But then whenever a position is offered to me, I refuse instantly. Probably that had some impact on me and I couldn't accept. Till today I'm not able to accept. Although I know Swami later on changed, because according to time he changes. But that had gone into my mind and then I couldn't take up any position. And then Swami told, he told me to do MA philosophy. So I continued. Some of my friends went back into the world. I continued doing MA philosophy and I studied with his grace. I didn't know. The very innocent girl, ignorant I would say, from Barampur, Orissa, who didn't know to speak a sentence in English. Swami graced me with a gold medal in my MA philosophy.
Wow, that's huge.
Really great.
What a long way.
That is absolutely Swami's grace, nothing else. I always followed what Swami said, the way he taught us to study, the way to surrender to him, do our best, put in our best, maximum, and then leave the rest to him. Till date, even when I'm a teacher now, I tell my students the same things. I taught my children the same things. You do your duty, leave the rest to Swami. He will handle. And he did it for me. So, from my experience, I always tell the students, I always tell the youngsters, do this. And he's there for us. And during a stay, when I was staying in Anantapur, of course, these were the love that Swami showed on us. He also taught us quite a few things through simple things. Like when we were some indisciplined, he wanted us to be disciplined. Once what happened, I remember when we came to Patti, we were placed just next to the mandir. We were sitting. And when we came to Patti, Swami didn't turn to our side. He didn't come. He just cut short, directly went to the public, gave darshan. For 2-3 days he did that and then we were heartbroken. All of us started shedding tears. When Swami would come for darshan, we started weeping. And Swami would go back, wouldn't look at us. And every day we started crying and started prayers. In our shed we started special bhajans, special naam smaranam, praying Swami, and rigorous penance, I would say. Then one day Swami came. After two, that was, I'm talking about 83, 84 probably. That was the time. Then Swami came and to the line, he said, why are you all crying? Shall I provide you buckets to fill and provide you handkerchiefs? You want handkerchiefs? You don't have? Why are you all crying? And we started all the more with noisy sobbings. He was standing in front of us. And he said, you want me to come to Anantapur? And you have built a gate of iron. We wondered what Swami was talking about. Iron gate, huge gate. I can't cross inside, he said. We were wondering, we were sobbing, looking at Swami. You know what it is? It is indiscipline. You all talk a lot. Only talking all the time. You talk such a lot in the hostel. I don't want to come. Unless you become disciplined, I will not come. Go back to hostel, be disciplined, children. Then I will come to Anantapur. We were all quiet. We went back to Anantapur. And you won't believe, for a week, till the next Sunday, I remember, in the hostel, we were nearly 400 of us, and pin drop silence 24 hours. There was not a noise, nobody would talk. The next Sunday, when we came back to Patti, Swami blessed us with an interview. And in the interview, he said, children, you all are my children, and you have to be disciplined. I don't want you to waste your time, waste your energy talking. Don't talk. Be disciplined, children. When you be disciplined, I will be very nice to you. He was very happy. He spoke to us for a very long time. And then he blessed us with namaskar. He sent us back. That was the time. But then once what happened, he was strict with us when we made mistakes. But also, he was very sweet to us when we did a good thing and he appreciated. Once I remember, we were sitting for darshan. And then, mandir aunties, they would give us the flowers which were offered to Swami, the garlands and the flowers, pass it on to us so that we put it on our hair. And so, aunties gave us some garlands. We had to cut them off into small bits and passed on to all the girls. All of us put. We were waiting for Swami. Then after some time, Swami came for us and straight he came to us. He said, నాకు తెలుసు, ఐ నో లైక్ అప్పచిల్లలు లాగే మీరు అందరు పంచినారు కదా పూలు. మీన్స్ దట్ లైక్ సిస్టర్స్ యు ఆల్ షేడ్ అమంగెస్ట్ యూ ద ఫ్లవర్స్ నో. ఐ నో దిస్ ఇస్ యూనిటీ, యు లివ్ లైక్ సిస్టర్స్, స్వామి లవ్స్ దిస్. చాలా సంతోషం, ఐఎమ్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ విత్ యూ, స్వామి సేడ్. వెరీ లిటిల్ థింగ్ వి రియలైజ్ దట్ స్వామి ఇస్ సో హ్యాపీ విత్ అస్. బట్ హి సెడ్ లివ్ లైక్ దిస్ లైక్ సిస్టర్స్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ యూ మస్ట్ షేర్ అండ్ లివ్ లైక్ సిస్టర్స్. So for little things Swami used to inspire us, motivate us, appreciate us every moment, whatever little thing we did. I remember that. And once more what happened, every time Swami used to tell us in the darshan, those days arches were there. We were made to sit for some time, I think afternoon session when it was very hot, under some arches which had some figures made of rabbits and squirrels, I suppose. And Swami used to come and tell us that you are rabbits and squirrels, rabbits and rats, rats and rabbits, rats and rabbits. Always used to utter these words. We wondered what, we never understood. Once Swami, when he gave us interview, some of us courageously, Swami, always you tell us rats and rabbits, what does that mean? We don't understand. Then Swami told us, see, what does the rat do? It goes on moving from room to room, room to room, gnawing and destroying things. Rabbits will keep hopping and going from this place to that place. And what do you do? You in the hostel, you keep going from room to room and talking. You go from room to room, and even when the lights are switched off in the night and you are supposed to sleep, you go from room to room and talk. I know everything. I know that. He asserted and he said, I know everything. That's why I call you rabbits and rats. You are not supposed to do that. You should not talk unnecessarily, he told us.
Even socialize, I guess.
Yes, right. That time he told us, I don't like socialization. Unnecessary socialization. Even when you are in Prashanthi Nilayam, when you are in Mandir, when you are in Patti, unnecessarily don't talk to people. Don't make unnecessary friends. Only the socialization which helps you in your spiritual upliftment.
That is satsang, basically.
Satsang. Only that you inculcate. Other than that, do not involve yourself in any socialization. Do not
other people's business, I guess.
Don't interfere. Don't go from room to room. Don't visit people unnecessarily and waste their time and your time. He had told at that time. Don't waste time. Time is very precious. You have to spend time fruitfully. So that was the time, then that came into our lives, and that still continues with His grace, that we should not socialize unnecessarily, do not waste time, don't keep visiting people unnecessarily unless there is a need.
Sushmita, your experiences sound like a dream, so much of divine grace for a period of about 12 years.
Yes.
At a stretch that you were in Anantapur doing your intermediate, bachelor's, master's, teaching there and so on. But I guess after this period of abundance of divine grace, Swami was preparing you for the biggest challenge of your life. Once you got married,
yes,
you had to actually call upon all your inner strength to get through some very big difficulties in your personal life. I understand a family member very close to you was suffering from some mental health issues which had not been diagnosed, and you went through a lot of trauma as a result of it. I know it's a sensitive subject. To whatever extent you can share, how you survived it, using everything that Swami gave you during your Anantapur years, the knowledge, the skill, the priorities, the thought process, the inner strength, it would really benefit all of us.
Okay. When I was a lecturer in Anantapur, that was in after 88, I joined in 88. I was in fact doing MPhil in Madras University, 87-88 batch. I was in Madras. After I finished my exams, suddenly I received a letter from the registrar, Satyasai University. That time Chakravarti uncle was there. And in the envelope, there was an application form for a lecturership. And he had written a letter to me asking that I have to fill up the form and come along with the form to attend interview. So immediately I came back. I was selected as he had willed then. And I joined Anantapur immediately. And then I did not submit my dissertation, MPhil dissertation. It took another year for me, because along with the teaching for degree and MA classes, As soon as I joined, I had to take MA classes plus degree classes. And then along with that, working day and night to teach and then do my dissertation work. It was difficult for me. However, it took 1 year and I submitted my dissertation. And then when I was working, one Swami gave us, the staff members, an interview. And in the interview, he asked me, what do you teach? I said, Swami, philosophy. When I said philosophy, he said, what's the meaning of philosophy? And as all the students of philosophy, we mug up the definition of philosophy. I said, search for truth. He said, search for truth. Truth is everywhere. Where will you go and search for truth? It's everywhere. Then instantly he gave me the idea. I said, no, Swami, it's vision of truth. He said, yes, it is Satya Darshana. It is vision of truth. Then Swami discussed with me and he said, what have you done? What are you planning and all that? Then Swami discussed me in detail about my doctorate. He told me, do PhD. Then I asked him, so where will I do? In detail, he told me, then you do under a man, don't do under a woman. And then I said, Swami, in Madras University is in a different state. That's Tamil Nadu. This is Andhra Pradesh. And doing research between intra-state, it is difficult. Swami, there are some legal problems and all. I said, follow all procedures, Swami said. Follow all procedures and do that. He has told me, till today, I have not done PhD. However, suddenly there was a proposal I had to, for a man. Marriage. I didn't know that I have to get married. It was a mystery. Although I knew the people. And then Swami was everything for me, more than my parents. I asked Swami. I told Swami, what should I tell them? Swami hesitated for a while. Then he said, Upuko, agree. So I had to agree. A very mysterious marriage I did have.
Why do you say mysterious? In what
mysterious sense? In the sense it was not arranged marriage, neither was love marriage. It was something they proposed. I knew the people. They asked me that I should get married. I asked Swami when he said yes. I agreed. And we had the marriage. That's why till today I don't understand what is there behind it. That's why I say it's mysterious. I still don't understand what is the real significance of it. Although I lived through it 22 years over. And then when I got married, I went to my in-laws' house. I didn't know what was there ahead of me. I was in a very different world mentally. That I had to do good things. I would have to serve the family and help the family. That was my attitude. I never knew what is getting married, getting into family life and all that. Gradually, problems started getting in, as you told me already. I discovered that I was handling a person with a mental health issue. Then in the beginning, I thought, well, I have to put up with everything. Probably the person is like that. I didn't know how the people would be.
It had not been diagnosed.
Nothing. Nobody knew about it.
And what was it? Bipolarism?
It was bipolarism. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything. I too didn't know about it. I was thinking the person is like that. I said, I have to put up with it. Since Swami students, we have to put up with everything. I should not fail Swami. That was my attitude. I said, nowhere anybody should say Swami student failed to do something. So I kept everything to myself. I went on. As time passed by, things started, problem was getting intensified more and more. I had two children, two sons with 4 years gap. I was involved fully with the family and the problem was getting intensified gradually. It went on and on and on. Every moment I was conveying to Swami everything that was happening.
In heart to heart.
Heart to heart, completely.
So were you the object of the person's anger?
Well, wouldn't say anger. Can we say it is anger? I don't know whether it is anger.
Whatever,
or
disturbance.
Victim.
You were the victim of his mental disturbance.
Yes. Okay. So, I didn't know how to handle. I myself didn't know. All the way I was thinking that was, the person is made like that. And I have to put up with that. So, it was, and every moment I was conveying to Swami. And always I told, and it became such a habit for me. Anytime I was hurt by anybody or any person, whoever it is, I would instantly tell, Swami is there for me. That was the only sentence, very strongly, very boldly and very confidently, I would just blurt out without thinking, Swami is there for me. Little did I think that what I was telling was right, wrong, or what. I never doubted. It just used to come out. And it went on. Always I felt there is a strength inside me, very strong, and I knew Swami was with me. I could feel. I never told Swami in Darshan line. I used to come to Parthi once a year at least. That was during December. I would wait for a glance from Swami. Sometimes I came, Swami, I'm going back. I used to tell. Santosham Bangaru, he used to tell. He knew.
All was good.
Very happy child. Bangaru means a word is very significant. That is gold.
Literally it means gold.
Gold. It means gold.
But there's so much significance.
Yes. Gold means God uses you. Gold. A goldsmith uses the solid gold to make an ornament. And to transform the gold into ornament, lot of process is there.
So you go through a furnace, you go through hammering, you go through chiseling and polishing and cutting and mending,
yes.
Welding.
Everything, all possible.
Then you become a beautiful ornament.
So when Swami tells Bangaru, you know where you are.
You know, I just have to, and sorry for interrupting you, I just have to share this with our listeners that as soon as I asked Sushmita this question, my previous question about the biggest challenge in her life, something unusual happened in the studio. We are both sitting across from each other around a round table, and to our right, suddenly from nowhere, don't know, not from whether it came from sky, mid-air, from somewhere, a beautiful bangle fell on the floor.
Glass bangle.
It looks like a glass bangle with beautiful multicolors, but it has no joint and it didn't break. It went, there was a cling sound and I noticed there was a disruption, and I maybe about 2 feet away from the edge of the table. So I picked it up and I know I can sense it's meant for Sushmita. So where did it come from? Who dropped it from where? We all know that because Bhagwan is always present in the studio when we record. I always feel his physical presence here. And when she was talking about the ornament, I felt compelled to share with you that an ornament just manifested in the studio for Sushmita from thin air, somewhere in the sky. It just came down. It was such an affirmation for both of us because we're talking about something which is very difficult for her to go through. So Sushmita, carry on.
Okay. Thank you, Karunadi. Then what happened gradually, I was undergoing. Now things were getting bad to us. My children were growing up and I didn't know what was going on. I was feeling that the impact may fall on children. So I wanted to put my eldest son into hostel. And I always preferred Swami's hostel. He was in 7th standard. I came to try for him. But no, Swami didn't decide that. He didn't get. He was refused. They said that he could not be taken in 7th standard. He was very heartbroken. We did not know Swami's will. Again, after his 10th standard, I came. That was the right. I said, Swami, now at least you take because he's quite grown up and I don't want him to be influenced by any of the circumstances that I'm in. Younger one is younger still. So I said, it's time for the elder one. Please take over, Swami. I came for his 10th standard admission. Then too, he didn't get. We went back. But little did I know that my eldest son's presence was most essential for me at that time. He had to be with me, my moral support, physically, because Swami felt probably I needed somebody physically beside me to face my life. So my son was there. And then it was during 2003-04, things reached the climax. I couldn't face it anymore. I felt that it is high time Swami interferes and I cannot handle anymore. I said, Swami, till now I tried my level best, Swami. Now you take over. When I came to Parthi in December, I was sitting beside the mandir. On the first line, beside me was the security girl. I still remember Lakshmi Menon, who works in the media office. Yes. She was a security girl. She was beside me. Swami was on the wheelchair. He came for darshan. Directly he came towards the lady's side. He was just coming. I was the first person on the line. When I saw Swami, I burst out. I started sobbing. I never cried. I never wanted to cry because Swami never wanted tears in our eyes. But I couldn't control it. I just couldn't control. I covered my face only, my eyes were seeing. And I was sobbing. Lakshmi kept on pinching, Didi, don't cry, Swami doesn't like it. I couldn't control myself. Swami paused there. He stopped in wheelchair. He kept on staring at me for 5 minutes, more than 5 minutes. I was sobbing. He waited for me and he was looking at me all through. When I was under my control a bit, he started moving. He came. I was in the first row. When he reached me, he stretched his hand towards me, his left hand. I knew what was the meaning of it, but we were trained not to touch Swami when I didn't want to catch his hand, because I wanted Swami catches my hand. I was like a small girl who was passing through a swinging bridge with his father. When the father said, child, hold my hand, lest you should fall. And the little girl said, father, you hold my hand. I may slip off if I catch your hand, but you hold my hand. I will never slip out of your grip. So I wanted Swami to catch my hand. I didn't want to take Swami's hand. In my mind, with all my heart, I put my hand mentally into Swami's hand. Since then, Swami caught hold of my hand. Till date, he has not dropped it. And I know he will never drop it. And Swami just moved off. He looked at me. He put his hand back. He went off. He took a circle around the ladies. In the center, the block was there. He covered, took the whole round, came in front of that main block, middle block, again came back to the point where he was. From there, again he stared at me. At that time, I had stopped crying. I knew he was there. He confirmed it to me that he was there with me. He looked at me for a while. For 2 minutes, he paused. He looked at me. He went back to the veranda. I went back home, and as I wanted and as he willed, he took it up. Very miraculously, things started changing, taking a turn. All of a sudden, a close relative of mine discovered the problem in my life. It just came to limelight. It just, not to limelight, I would say, that person came to know. Nobody knew it except me and Swami. I didn't know that it was illness. And probably I had to undergo all that. All that I don't want to question, I don't want to discuss.
I thought that was the personality of the individual.
And I had to put up with. When it went out of my hand, I prayed, Swami, I surrendered in desperation. It was not out of love. I told Swami, I can't do anymore. You have to take over. Then he took it over. So that person told me that I should go to a psychiatrist for help. I did visit, and gradually I had to take help, medical help, and gradually after medication and diagnosis, medication, it was diagnosed as bipolar.
Did your family member cooperate in going to see a psychiatrist?
At first, without his knowing, I had to medicate him. And then after that, Swami's hands are there. Unseen hands are always there. He was always beside me. He has been. And he cooperated. We went. And Swami looked after everything. Everything is under control right now. I am at peace. And to tell you, after that, after 12th standard of my elder son, Swami took him into his institute. Now he is studying in MCA, Mudanahalli campus. And this year, my younger son too finished his 10th. Now he's in 11th standard in Swami's higher secondary school. Both the children Swami has taken care of. Now he has taken into his fold. And I know, because I told Swami only up to 10th. After that, I cannot. You have to. It was a demand. I never requested. I never prayed. I only said, Swami, it's a demand. You take over. And he has taken over. Now there is peace in the family. There is all calmness, only bliss, only Swami, and nothing else.
Wow. Real gold you are, Sushmita. You've been through the process of smelting.
I don't know whether...
chiseling, polishing, and look at you today.
That's all Swami. That's all Swami's. Because I don't know, I told you already that my marriage is a mystery. I told you, because I still don't understand. I always feel Swami has deployed me there on some job. I have to finish it. He knows when.
Do you ever question what if I had said no? What if I had not
never,
asked Swami?
Never. I don't regret too.
Okay.
I don't regret. I always accepted it as his will.
Mm-hmm.
I always told Swami, well, if you feel that I should undergo all this, I don't know whether it is an ordeal. I don't know whether it is my karma.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether it is will that you want me to be there. I just don't know anything. Whatever it may be, it is your divine will. I have to accept. Give me strength to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Because he's fast tracking you to nirvana. Quick accelerated karmic workout. He puts a lot of his women students through it. I hear this recurring theme from so many of my sisters from Anantapur that I know of or who I interview. And you're one of the few who has been so candid to share something so personal. So I'm sure a lot of people will benefit from hearing how you overcame the crisis and how you dealt with it. Sushmita, you lived quite a lot for a young lady who's only 49 right now. You are a successful professional woman. You've been through some very challenging times in your personal life, and you have a nice marriage now with God's grace and two beautiful young sons. When you look back at your journey with Swami, the years at Anantapur, the infinite grace, the challenges that followed, what are your final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, right now when I look back, the stormy sea is calmed down. And on the banks, I find only a pair of footprints, and that Swami's, all the while who carried me till today. Now, right now, I'm very peaceful, happy with my children and my husband, who sings in Bharti. He's a singer. He sings in Prashanti Nilayam for Swami. And I just a message I to end with, I want to say, God has blessed me. I saw worst days, but I have also seen better days. I do not have all my wants, but I do have all my needs. I woke up with aches and pains, but I did wake up. My life may not be perfect, but thank God it is good. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Dear listeners, this was yet another episode of our series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, with Mrs. Sushmita Patnaik. This was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on 8th of October 2014. Your feedback, suggestions and comments are very welcome at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company, and please do continue to stay tuned to our next program. Sai Ram. Thank you.